Hello and welcome to this year-end part one edition of the Pipe Bomb Wrestling Podcast, a show that is for the fans, by the fans. I am your phenomenal host, Mr. Podcasting, Chris Belcher. Follow me at ChrisBelcher24 on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. The show is at PBW Podcast on those platforms. Make sure you're following us, interact with us. We would appreciate it. Also, make sure you're subscribed wherever you find your podcast and on the BodySlam.net YouTube channel. Andy, of course, is with me, the young buck, Mr. Andy York, in the flesh again. Winding down season three. Yeah. This is episode 100.
This is episode 100 into two parts, kind of. But yeah, it's great. We're can't believe we're already here. That we're already at 100 episodes. It's insane that there's been that much content that we've been able to do, and that we've actually we've been able to consistently do it.
Yep.
We've missed a couple, but when we missed a couple, it led to this. So it kind of worked. It kind of worked out for the better. But yeah, man, it's going to be a lot of fun.
It certainly is. Thanks for being along for the ride with us. Again, make sure you subscribe wherever you find your podcast. Make sure you're following along on social media. And of course, the BodySlam.net YouTube channel, hit that subscribe button. Like the video. This is something I'm learning. Like the video. That helps a lot. Okay. Here we go, man. Year-end awards. WWE this week, AEW next week.
Yep.
And this will wrap up season three. Well, man, we started doing this last year, this year-end award thing, and it's a ton of fun.
It is.
Like, it's really cool to be able to go back and look at all these cool moments through the years, especially, like, full disclosure, moment of the year is one of our categories.
I've got a lot.
I've got a lot. There are so many.
For WWE and AEW, I've got a lot of moments, matches, and like male and female wrestlers of the year kind of in each one. I've got multiple. So
I'm so glad you have a lot of moments for AEW because I don't.
Yeah.
So
I've got like three or four moments, but a couple of them aren't great moments, but they're still moments that we all will definitely remember for forever.
For sure. All right. Let's get into it. Again, AEW is going to be next week. WWE is going to be this week. Let's kick it off. Let's start with moment of the year, man.
Okay.
What, there's no better one to start with. There are so, man, when you look back over the years, moments is what defines wrestling. And I know I'm being cliche or whatever. Moments is what define wrestling. There are things that stick out every single year. You know, Hogan body slamming Andre.
Yep.
And Shawn jumping off the ladder at WrestleMania 10. And blah, 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 blah. List goes on and on. Moments is what defines wrestling and creates fandom, in my opinion. And 2022 was not short on moments of the year.
No.
I mean, if you look at it, oh my gosh, man.
There are a lot of moments, both in ring and out of ring,
yes,
that have defined the 2022. We talked about like this past summer was the most chaotic wrestling summer I can remember in a long time. Of just like every single week, there was something that came out, something that happened. Whether you know, it's this person's leaving, this person's leaving, this person's showing up here, this person's in trouble, this person's not in trouble. Like it was so much chaos everywhere you looked.
Well, let's not have any mystery. We're going to have discussion on these. There's going to be a lot of these that we're going to agree on.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of these that we differentiate on.
Yeah.
But there's room for discussion to debate a lot of things. But moment of the year, if you have to give one, what is it?
If I had to give one, there were two.
Just one.
I know. There were two that were neck and neck. And I think I think you are going to take the other one because we both have a bias to that one.
It's true. Yeah, for sure.
Sort of, but I have a bias to this one too. The Bray Wyatt return to me is probably the moment of the year.
Oh, I will tell you it's the moment of the year too.
Because it was not only was it something that fans have been itching for since he left, since he was released, but the way they handled it without telling us anything really. Like if you didn't see the QR codes the first couple of weeks, you were lost when things started to pop up. And then I know I'm newer at wrestling than most of the other people that are on the show with you as well. This might have been the best return of all time.
I can agree with that.
With like how everything was set up, the way they shot it, how detailed it was, it answered a lot of questions and left us with more questions.
Sure it did.
And so I think, to me, Bray Wyatt's return is probably the moment of the year.
And I think you have to add to that moment the SmackDown after.
Yes.
Because I think that promo and that reaction and the chill bump moments that happened there,
yeah,
with Bray Wyatt with a live microphone for the first time, yeah, like that adds to that.
Yeah.
So if you can combine those two things into just his return,
the return of Bray Wyatt, I think has been even the stuff they're doing now.
Right.
I think you can add into that because we still don't know who Uncle Howdy is, like all right. this other stuff. So like, I feel like you could just label the return of Bray Wyatt has been,
yep,
the moment of the year,
right,
all the way through.
But it's hard. You when you have moment of the year conversation, you have to talk about Cody Rhodes.
Absolutely.
You have to talk. I mean, go back and listen to our WrestleMania recap show where you can audibly hear Andy scream.
Yes.
When Cody comes back.
And nearly pass out.
Yeah. Nearly pass out. I mean, like, we were in the building.
Yeah.
So we are biased, but that's just insane.
It was insane. And it was one of those, kind of with Bray coming back, with Punk coming back last year, it was one of those of like, yes, all the rumors and all signs are pointing to him. Until he physically walks out there, though, I'm not believe they could play the music, and I'm still not going to fully believe it.
When
he raised up and we all saw him, it was insane. The pop was probably the biggest pop of the night. Well, maybe the second biggest pop because Stone Cold was
It was wild.
Stone Cold, but that just,
and that's another one.
Yeah, we didn't even mention that Stone
Austin
Cold
and KO at Mania.
Stone Cold's in there. That may come up a little later too, but. It was definitely like that return is what makes pro wrestling so much fun.
Yep.
And especially what makes this having AEW and WWE around.
Yep.
Last year it was Bryan Danielson, Adam Cole popping up in AEW. This year it's Cody Rhodes showing back up in WWE. So right. it's that one was the one where it was like the moment was fantastic.
Yep.
But the Bray moment just barely gets by it.
There's a lot. There are pros and cons, not necessarily pros and cons, but more things outweigh things on either side.
Yep.
You look at Cody, that was the first shot really fired from the WWE side.
First shot return.
That's right. So that's huge.
Yeah.
The moment of Cody was in WWE, didn't feel like he was treated well, his dad, his legacy, never won the world title, blah, 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 all those things.
Yeah.
The gravity of all that. Bray Wyatt, one of the most beloved superstars of all time, gets fired in the middle of the pandemic, yada, yada, whatever, and just the weight of all that.
Yeah.
So they're both great for great reasons.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. And one person could be, fall under, I guess, like one more than the other, and that's totally fine. Like,
right.
You can't really argue it.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I know we're kind of – there's one other moment.
Go for it.
That we have to bring up.
Yep.
That we cannot miss in here.
Okay.
And there's 1,000% Vince McMahon retiring.
I didn't even have it on my list.
That's like that's like a thing we never thought would have happened.
Yep.
And that was I still remember the day I saw the tweet that he sent out. And me and you both were like, this ain't real. Like there ain't no way this is real. Boy, it was real. It has literally changed the course of WWE the second half of the year.
It really has, and it sets up for another moment that I have listed, certainly an honorable mention, SummerSlam, the return of Bayley, Io, and Dakota to kick off SummerSlam, basically after that incredible match. Like, that's huge, because not only are we, 2 weeks removed at that point from Vince retiring, 3 at the most?
If that, yeah.
And it's Triple H's first pay-per-view in power. And after you open with a banger of a women's title match, Becky Lynch turns face.
Yep.
And you get these three showing up.
Yep.
Like, that's huge.
We literally, because it was in Nashville, we all were there.
Yep.
Me and you literally looked at each other and said, Triple H is here. Like, Triple H has quickly left his mark on WWE from that instant on.
For sure.
Sometimes for the better, sometimes not for the better. Like there are pros and cons with it, but that definitely was one of those when they returned and all of that happened. And even from that show, another honorable mention that we have to bring up is Brock freaking flipping the ring with a tractor. That was another thing that we were like, I would never would have guessed that would happen.
I mean, that is one of those images that we are going to see for a long, long time.
It's up there with like Jeff Hardy being speared. from the top.
Yep.
Shane McMahon leaping from Hell in a Cell.
Yep.
Shane leaping off the scaffolding mm-hmm. onto, was it Test?
Steve Blackman.
Yep. So like just those kind of iconic moments, yep. we get that. And even before that, like we didn't even see this until later. When he flipped the mic, Roman just catching it, like that stuff like that. Speaking of the Bloodline as well, I think a moment that should be brought up. Moments are very easy to kind of pick sure. up. The whole Jey Uso saying, I don't care what the Tribal Chief says. That whole moment alone
yep.
was like one of the biggest moments of SmackDown the year.
And Sammy getting the shirt and yes. all that. Oh, man. Yeah. That's huge. That was huge.
Yeah.
That was absolutely huge. So many moments. One more that I definitely want to bring up because we could literally spend the whole
show
talking about moments of the year. One more that I certainly want to bring up is another one that you and I were in the building for. And you talked just a minute ago about moments in and out of the ring. Technically, this was in the ring, but it was not wrestling. The Undertaker's Hall of Fame speech.
Yes.
If for people watching that at home, it was an experience.
It was.
For the people in the building.
Yeah.
For that 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
It was emotional. Like,
sure was.
Like there were people around us in tears.
Sure there was.
When he was talking. And even, you know, that speech and then 2 nights later, Sunday WrestleMania, Triple H kicking off.
Yes.
Leaving his boots in the ring.
That was
like
huge.
That was another one because that was unexpected.
Yep.
Because we were sitting there waiting for the pyro and then all of a sudden his Triple music dropped. We're like, what is happening? We both looked at each other like, what is going on?
Yep.
Like moments like those two moments really, really defined like two of the best of all time.
Yep.
To ever do it. That was their end moment was right there.
Yep. I feel like these next two categories we can sort of combine, okay. sort of. We're going to go match of the year / feud of the year.
Okay.
Doesn't necessarily have to be the same thing,
right.
but I think you can kind of combine those.
Right.
Match of the year. I want to go first with an honorable mention.
Okay.
And it's a match that I remember so vividly that you were so down on. And then by the end of the match, I think it's one of the best of the year. 6-man tag from WrestleMania Backlash. RK-Bro and Drew McIntyre against the Bloodline.
Yeah.
I went back and watched that match the other day. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, the match itself was great.
Like, yeah, throw everything out.
Take the match for what it is.
Yep, bell to bell.
Bell to bell, it was really good.
So
like,
good.
It was one of the best WWE 6-man tag matches of the year.
Yep.
And, how could you not with the guys you had in the ring?
For like, sure.
They were going to tear the house down anyway.
For sure. For sure. What you got? What do you think?
I'll throw out an honorable mention as well. The Usos and the Street Profits from Money in the Bank.
Yeah.
That tag match was probably WWE's best tag match of the year.
Yep. Agreed.
Because they tried to do it again at SummerSlam and it didn't. It was good, but it didn't work. Plus, I missed half the match anyway because of the stupid light. So I had to go back and watch SummerSlam. SummerSlam was great, but it was also a blur from a lot of it.
Yep.
But the Money in the Bank match, I remember, like, I was like, man, that match was fantastic. Because that was the point in the show where everything kind of fell off from that point. Because mm-hmm. that was the high moment. Like, that was the climax.
That was it.
You couldn't do better than that moment.
Let's go to Clash at the Castle. I won't take the one that you're going to say.
Thank you.
If you want that to be your first place, that's fine.
Yeah.
But I'm going to say Roman Reigns and Drew McIntyre, that main event.
Yes.
Deserves praise for... Does it? I mean, incredible.
Yep.
Everything we wanted that match to be. Probably Roman's best match of his title run.
Maybe.
Who else are you putting up there?
He had that SmackDown match with Daniel Bryan that was fantastic.
That was really good. Yep. The one that ended Bryan's WWE run.
Yep.
Okay.
Before the disqualification, him and Seth had a good one at the Rumble.
The triple threat at Mania 37
was good.
Was great.
Yeah.
I just like this
from
one.
From a technical standpoint, absolutely.
Yes.
I think Brock's Roman SummerSlam had the chaotic aspect that we missed.
Sure.
And then this is, don't shoot me. Mm-mm. Roman and Logan Paul at Crown Jewel had this is going to be terrible. Not terrible, but this could go one or two ways. And all of a sudden, like, the storytelling in this is amazing. What is happening?
I'll give you another one that you would be shocked for me to say. Roman and Matt Riddle on SmackDown.
fantastic.
That match was fantastic. So good.
Yep.
So he's had a lot of really good matches. I just think from a technical standpoint, bell to bell, like this Drew match is the best one.
It had everything from in-ring was fantastic. The crowd was more than invested.
Yep.
And then you had the end of Solo making his debut, and then the crowd has been like, what is happening? Austin Theory getting punched by Tyson Fury. The only thing that's a downer on it is the end when they're all singing at the end. That's the one thing I was like, can we move on?
So bad. All right. What do you think?
I'm not going to say I'm between two for my number one.
Okay. Which two?
And I don't think they're either one that you're going to mention.
Okay. Probably not.
One might be.
Okay.
It's a Seth Cody match.
Okay.
But it's not the WrestleMania match.
Okay.
It's the Hell in a Cell match.
I was reading some stuff online about what a lot of people thought, and a lot of people are saying that one too, which I get. I'm just partial to the Mania match.
Yeah. Oh, me too. Cause I was in the building. We were both in the building for that one.
Right.
I just think the circumstances around the Hell in a Cell match, him still going out there and doing it, I still think it's one of the best Hell in a Cell matches of all time.
Oh, it's for sure.
If not the best. Like I'm not gonna go that far either, but it's definitely it's top five Hell in a Cell matches of all time.
For sure.
Definitely of the modern era, it's the best Hell in a Cell. Maybe New Day Usos might be up there too, because that one's up there for sure.
Yep.
But that match was fantastic. My other one, which I'm probably gonna give it to, Clash of the Castle, Sheamus and Gunther.
Yep.
That match was everything I wanted it to be, and 10 times more.
Yep.
It was so great, to the point where you know how big of a Walter fan I am.
Yep.
I wanted Sheamus to beat him so bad. Yep. I wanted that to be Sheamus's moment, and it didn't happen, but the match was just fantastic.
So that was so good. I mean, that if there was ever any doubt that Sheamus is working at the peak of his career at this point, like that proved it right there. Because a lot of people would say, you know, when he first came in, he was great, he beat John Cena, and then he turns around and cashes in on Roman, blah, blah, whatever.
And even his bar, like the bar run with Cesaro.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, fantastic stuff. But like right now, oh my gosh, totally different level.
And to think, at WrestleMania, we were at, their match got cut from night one, and then it just got thrown together with night two.
Yep.
And nobody really cared about it.
Right.
And then you fast forward to the end of the year, and he is, you know, one of the most over guys in the entire roster.
Absolutely. I think one we do need to mention also from WrestleMania, or you could take SummerSlam, but I'll go WrestleMania, Becky Bianca.
Yep.
From WrestleMania.
Yep.
That match was just incredible.
Yep.
You're going to give it to Walter and Sheamus. I'm going to have to go Seth and Cody WrestleMania.
Yep.
Like, I just think that match just... it's everything we needed it to be between those two guys. It was perfect to reestablish Cody back on WWE.
Yep.
And just the magnitude of the whole thing. It just, to me, that's a match of the year.
Yeah. It's definitely like top three for me was that, because I mean, you got the Gunther Sheamus one I mentioned, Seth Cody Hell in a Cell. And then that one, honestly, depends on which one I watch last. It's probably my favorite.
I could just say the whole trilogy of Seth and Cody. And
because their second match was at
WrestleMania Backlash.
Yeah, that one was really good, too.
It was really good.
That one was really good, too.
Really good.
Yeah, that was special. And, you know, 2 years in a row, Seth has been in a special feud with a trilogy that.
And arguably match of the year 2 years in a row.
With all three matches.
Yep. Like, for sure.
Like all three matches. That end in a Hell in a Cell match. So you're like, that was a fantastic Hell in a Cell match. What is going on? Yeah.
Exactly. So that leads us to feud of the year.
Yeah.
Who's feud of the year in your opinion?
It has to be Seth and Cody.
It does.
Like it has to be those two from every, like set to the point where Seth was building the feud before Cody was even in the company.
Yeah.
We get to WrestleMania. He's there. And then it's just like, boom, we kicked off and we're running.
He started building the feud before Cody officially signed.
Yeah.
If you listen to Seth's interview, I think it was on Ryan Satin's.
No, it was with
Corey Graves.
No. He's with the sports group out in England.
That's right.
Raj. No.
Inside the Ropes.
No, it wasn't Inside the Ropes either. What was it? BT Sports, I think. It was.
Okay, okay, yeah. Errol Hawani.
Okay, so
they asked him, and he said that he had to text Cody. Are we doing this? And Cody said, I think so. So, like, to that point about Seth, I think the other feud that you can bring up is Becky Bianca.
Yeah, I have that one on my list as well. This, I have one that's on here as well that's kind of a cheat, okay, but it's not, because it's still going on and it's not technically a feud yet, but it's leading to it. That's Bloodline and Sami Zayn.
It's, yeah, I give that
we're
more.
We're planting the seed. That's next, like, that's leading into next year, but we are absolutely planting the seeds.
If we were here, giving an award for storyline of the year, that, it's that, for
absolutely
sure. Yeah, no doubt.
And then you also got to throw out Kevin Owens and Stone Cold.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
feud,
yeah, yeah,
of the,
yeah,
year. Like, Kevin built that feud.
Just like Seth.
And then we get to the match, and the promo beforehand is amazing. And then the match is like, we're like, it's going to be a match, but Stone Cold's not going to take any bumps. Dude took a concrete suplex. We're like, what is happening right
no,
now?
No bumps in the ring first. That was the
that
first,
was the first
one,
one
he
one.
Took.
And then he, took like two on the stage area. Yep. He gave two to Kevin.
Yep.
So just like that whole thing. But honestly, I think it's like 1A Seth Cody.
Yep.
1B Becky Bianca.
Yep. So let's turn that now into pay-per-view of the year. Will be another category. This one is easy for me. Like, there's no ands, if, buts.
Yeah.
It's WrestleMania night number one.
That's the one I have as well.
It's not even close.
No, no. The only one I could see is Clash at the Castle.
That was great.
That one was great.
It was great. I would put SummerSlam up there.
Yeah.
Just because of everything that, you know, circumstances surrounding, yeah, it, all that kind of stuff. SummerSlam deserves some love. And WrestleMania night two deserves some love too.
Yeah. But the only thing that separates night one and Clash at the Castle, and not even because Clash at the Castle, I think, had one that match that was like, okay, that was fine. And that was Liv Ronda. No, that wasn't Liv Ronda. That was Liv Shayna.
Yes.
Was that. And that was like, it's fine. It's not, nope, it didn't tear the house down. Mm-hmm. WrestleMania night one, I don't think we had a dull moment, mm-mm, while we were there. Because I'm
Charlotte,
trying to think what was
Charlotte Ronda.
Was that night one or was that,
yep,
night two?
Night one.
Okay, that was the biggest dud of the night. But then you made up for it with Becky Bianca.
Yep.
You started off the night with the Usos and Nakamura and Boogs, which Boogs got hurt, but
right,
still the match was, to that point, was really good.
Drew and Corbin,
which we both were like, it's going to be okay. And then all of a sudden he kicked out at the end of days, which was one of the biggest pops of the night.
Wild. You had the Logan Paul match.
Which we both were like, this is going to be terrible. And then by the end we were like,
okay,
wow. All right, Logan, you showed us you can do this.
Seth and Cody.
There's another match that, what was the main event that night?
KO
and Stone Cold.
Yeah.
Yeah. There, I feel like we're missing one from that night.
We probably are.
But it was a jam-packed night where there was never a dull moment.
Yep.
And it was amazing from that point on.
WrestleMania night number one is the unanimous answer for sure. Yep. All right. Let's go tag team of the year. Now, listen, there are two categories that tag team of the year and male wrestler of the year that I'm going to say right now, we would not be doing a wrestling podcast and be doing justice if we did not say the obvious answer.
Correct.
For the tag team of the year, which is the Usos.
Yes.
Like, there's, it's obvious.
Yep.
We're not going to debate that.
No.
But we are going to throw out some other people who could make a running for it. And I'm telling you, RK-Bro is right there.
They are right there. I think the only thing that kind of has hindered them is Randy's injury.
Sure.
Which, you know, the reports are it's not great because he had the same surgery Sean had and that kept him out for 4 years. And so hopefully it's not that bad. But I'll tell you another one, though, that has been in the spotlight most of the year and has killed it. Alpha Academy.
They're on my list.
They are.
Woo, buddy.
They are. If I had like an underrated wrestler of the year or like most improved or whatever, it would go to Chad Gable.
Absolutely.
Like, Chad Gable has been the most fun this year.
Yep.
From everything he's done. Otis has been amazing, yep, as well. So the Alpha Academy definitely
deserves
to be
mentioned. Kevin Owens and Ezekiel and all that. Oh my gosh.
Amazing.
So good. Yeah, Alpha Academy is right up there. Like, RK-Bro is right up there. I think there's an argument to be made, and I know they had a short run. It was only 3 months. Seth Rollins and Kevin Owens at the beginning of the year.
Yeah.
That was a fun tag team.
That was.
They put on some incredible matches.
They did. They really did. They were a lot of fun. I don't think you can have a list like this, though, and not mention the Street Profits as well.
Sure.
Like, they had one of the best matches of the year.
Great year.
you know, and they are one of the biggest things in WWE is the Street Profits. So
definitely one of the most popular.
Yeah. So I think you definitely have to mention them. But at the end of the day, it's the Usos and it's everybody else.
Absolutely it is. Is there anybody else that you do want to mention though? We mentioned RK-Bro, Seth and Owens, Alpha. This category is not super deep. Like when we talk AEW next week, it's gonna be a lot deeper.
It is.
When we talk tag teams. In WWE, it's really not that deep. You know, you kind of have to, you know, pull some rabbits out of the hat.
Yeah, there. I don't remember the name because I don't watch a whole lot of NXT, but there is an NXT tag team that has been.
Are they currently the champions?
Yes,
it's like Pretty Deadly or
Pretty
something?
Deadly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They have been spot on this year as well. But man, it's just the Usos are on a different level.
They
right
are.
Now.
They really are. They really, really are. All right. Let's go female wrestler of the year. Again, I think this one is obvious.
I do too.
I think this category is so tough because we didn't have Sasha and Charlotte for most of the year.
Or Becky
for a portion lot of the year. I think you can make a case for Becky though.
Yeah.
For what, you know, what she was able to do this year. But it's Bianca Belair and everybody else.
Yeah. I think you could break this year down into two sections. Where it'd be like the first half of the year, it was Bianca and it was everybody else.
Yep.
The second half of the year, I think you could make the argument that Rhea Ripley has absolutely come into her own.
You got to talk about Rhea.
But Bianca is still just. Bianca is, even with Becky kind of there, Bianca is still the face of that Raw Women's Division.
Yep. For sure.
And she has done 10 times better than anybody really would have thought a couple years ago. I mean, I remember we did an NXT post show here. Several years ago, and it was like one of the first episodes I was on, and you guys were like, "Yeah, who is this Bianca Belair?" And I was like, "She's pretty good. She's pretty good
for sure."
Then like now we fast forward, and she is the face of the women's division.
Yep.
So yeah, she is absolutely deserving of it.
I think we talked about Becky Lynch. You mentioned NXT a minute ago. You can't have this conversation without Mandy Rose.
No, not at all. Yeah,
Mandy
yeah,
Rose over 400 days as NXT Women's Champion. Who would have thought that her going to NXT would skyrocket her career the way that it has?
It's been entertaining too. Like it's not been as bad as people thought it would have been. She's done fantastic. I think you also got to throw Liv Morgan out here.
Absolutely.
As well. Like she has had an up and down year, but she's the only person to pin Ronda Rousey twice. Like she absolutely deserves to be mentioned in this list of a female wrestler of the year is Liv Morgan as well.
Absolutely. A lot of good, I mean, you got Asuka, you've got Alexa, you've got, you know, Zelina Vega has done some cool stuff this year.
Ronda, you could mention.
Yep.
I don't think it's close.
No,
I don't think she.
No, no, no.
She's a champion. I think that's the only reason why you can mention her or just the name value, but everything else.
I think there's an argument to be made for Bayley too, since she's come back. You're talking about second half of the year.
Yeah.
Bayley has done a lot of good things the second half of the year.
Yeah.
Really, really picked up where she left off.
Yeah.
You know?
The only thing I think would keep Bayley out is her booking has been really inconsistent.
Sure.
And
it has.
Really weird.
Yep.
Like Bianca has been strong year round. Rhea has been strong year round. Like you don't get to power slam Luke Gallows and not be in this conversation at all.
Yeah. Wrestle in a 6-man tag with, you know, females in it and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rhea is definitely in the conversation for sure. All right. Let's wrap it up with male wrestler of the year. Again, it's not even close. It's Roman Reigns and everybody else. Like it's not even close.
See, this is where we're going to disagree.
Let me just say this.
Okay.
If you're looking at it from an outsider's perspective and you're looking at what they're doing, I read something this morning when they were, because the ongoing debate is how WWE is going to split the titles or whatever. But it says so much when you have two brands.
Yeah.
Yeah. One person holding both titles. That shows that there is a clear number one guy.
He is the number one guy.
And for a guy like him, we've had debates on this show about the PWI 500 so much.
Yeah.
For a guy like him, who people have dogged for so many years, for the PWI, who is extremely rigged and it's ridiculous, to put him at number one,
yep.
That says
and
something.
The Usos.
And the Usos, yeah. that says something to me.
Yeah, absolutely. I think he, there's no debate that he is not the number one guy in the company.
Right.
Don't think he's wrestler of the year.
Okay.
I think partially because he hasn't wrestled as much this year.
Okay.
Like, if we're talking about the whole thing, being in the ring, showing up, all this other stuff, I think the Usos absolutely tag team. They've wrestled more matches than anybody in the company this
year. Absolutely, they
have. Bianca Belair has been there. Even when she had a busted eye, she was still there,
right.
You know, doing stuff. Roman has taken some time off towards the end of the
Roman's
year.
Roman's also hurt. He's dealt with some injuries.
Some injuries. To me, the only name that has been consistent, there's two names that have been consistent. I think Seth Rollins absolutely has been consistent all year round. Yep. You can't deny, though, the last 6 months, the hottest wrestler in WWE is Sheamus.
For sure.
I think Sheamus is the male wrestler of the year.
Interesting. Okay.
Because you don't get to have the injuries he's had where, like, he said it was hard for him to walk at times. Right. And then come out and put on a banger with Walter,
mm-hmm.
a banger with Drew.
Mm-hmm. Several bangers with Drew. Yeah.
Several bangers with the Usos here recently. Like, he has been on a different level since WrestleMania. And so to me, he is the male wrestler of the year.
If I'm handing it to somebody other than Roman Reigns, which again, wouldn't be a wrestling podcast, we didn't say Roman Reigns.
Right.
He's the guy.
Right.
I'm handing it to Seth Rollins.
Yeah. I mean,
he's the guy for me. And I'm surprised that you didn't say this. Talk about the year Kevin Owens has had.
Yeah.
Like, dude, we were talking earlier in the year about you're handing him all this crap, or you don't know what you're going to do with him. He gets saddled with the Ezekiel stuff.
Yeah. And coming off a feud with Stone Cold.
And within 2 weeks, we're talking like that's the greatest feud on the show right now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, what he is able to do with nothing, same thing with Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
What they are able to do with very, very little just is incredible.
Yeah, and I think another name you could throw out there is Finn Balor.
Mm.
Finn Balor's had a fantastic year. Not so much pre-Triple H,
sure,
but since Triple H has come on board, Finn Balor has been like a key centerpiece of Monday Night Raw every single week. Judgment Day has. So I think you can absolutely throw him in there. Drew McIntyre. Like, I feel like you always have to throw Drew in this conversation for Wrestler of the Year as well, because he's always right there at it.
Yep. I think even though he was hurt, I think Cody Rhodes deserves some love, because what he was able to do in that short amount of time before he got hurt.
Ridiculous.
Man, if he hadn't got hurt, oh my gosh.
If he hadn't got hurt, I think we're heading to WrestleMania with him and Roman
and
I still think there's a great chance we are.
Yeah.
But I think it's like if he was still wrestling, it would be like, we don't really want The Rock. We want Cody. We want Cody and Roman right now.
Yep.
I got two names that also I think need to be shout out at least. Yep. Sami Zayn.
For sure. Yep.
I mean, WrestleMania, he's going into a feud with Johnny Knoxville.
And listen, the build to that was not good.
No, we were in the house for that SmackDown where the fake taser sound, it was awful.
It was terrible.
And we both were like, this match at WrestleMania is going to be terrible. It's going to be so boring. The most entertained I was over the two nights was that match.
Yep.
When Wee Man came out and body slammed him was one of the biggest pops of the weekend. Yep. Was that moment.
Yep.
Sami Zayn absolutely deserves to be on this list for that. Everything he's doing with the Bloodline, like he is he's the most over guy on SmackDown right now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when he's standing in the ring with Roman
Reigns.
He's
the most over guy on SmackDown and Raw right now.
I think you could throw Bray in there.
Yeah, that's true.
The only reason why Bray's not on this list as well is because he hasn't been here long enough to do
anything. And he hasn't wrestled a match.
Right. But still, I kind of want to throw him on this list just because everything he's done has been super entertaining.
Oh, he deserves to be mentioned, for sure.
But Sami Zayn absolutely deserves to be on this list. Braun Breaker. Braun Breaker absolutely deserves to be on this list as well. He has had a fantastic year in NXT. And I'll be the first one to mention, when NXT 2.0 started, I was like, man, Braun Breaker's going to be terrible. What are we doing? The dude is going to be a star when he gets called up to the main roster. And, you know, just to throw him out there, just because I feel like he should be mentioned, not necessarily male wrestler of the year, but like newcomer of the year or whatever. Solo Sikoa has been killing it on SmackDown.
He's very good. Let me tell you somebody who I think needs to be thrown out. And it's for the simple fact that he is the single guy we have talked about the most in 2022. And that's Austin Theory.
Yeah.
We have literally talked about him more than anybody.
Whether it's good or bad, we've talked about him.
It's all about a reaction.
Yeah, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And the man gets reaction.
He does.
He has had an incredible 2022.
Yes.
I'm not going to say he's wrestler of the year, but daggum, you can't have this conversation without him.
I agree. I think he definitely needs to be brought up and mentioned. He's done more this year. I mean, Vince McMahon's protege, wrestling Pat McAfee at WrestleMania, wrestled Bobby Lashley at SummerSlam.
Wins Money in the Bank.
Wins Money in the Bank, which, you know.
Wins the U.S. title.
Wins the U.S. title.
Loses Money in the Bank.
Right, loses the U.S. title.
Wins the U.S. title.
Yeah, gets it back almost after cashing in twice on Roman.
Right.
So, like, he's had an up and down year for sure. He's the one, though, that gets a lot of reaction, though, from people,
yep.
No matter when he comes out.
Yep. And I can tell you right now, if you go back and listen to all of our episodes through this year, we have talked about him the most.
Yeah.
I guarantee you he's mentioned on every single episode.
Yeah. I think we talk about him the most, and we talk about Roman Rock the most.
Right.
I think those are the two things that are brought up the most. And Bray.
That's true.
But, yeah. I think that's very fair to mention that.
So, I think he deserves to be on this list.
And I think somebody else that needs to be on this list is Matt Riddle.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Matt Riddle with RK-Bro was great. And then he goes out there and has a banger with Roman.
Yep.
And then Randy's hurt. And, like, what is Riddle going to do? He goes on a fantastic feud with Seth Rollins.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's kind of kept that momentum going as time has gone on. Yep. So, I think Riddle deserves to be on this list.
Riddle definitely deserves it. Man, it just, as we wrap up the WWE version of part one of these awards, it's been an incredible year from the sense of, you mentioned moment, Vince McMahon retiring, one thing that we never, ever, 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 ever thought would actually happen.
Right.
And we lived through it.
Yep.
And we're on the other side of it.
Yep.
But we can go back and look, a lot of this stuff that we're talking about, man, was under his leadership. And I'm not saying, and this is not a debate of is Vince good, is Vince bad, whatever. But you look back, pay-per-view of the year was there.
Yeah.
Feud of the year was there. It's argued that match of the year was there.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So a lot of that is under Vince. I say all of that to say, what an incredible 2022 that we have had in wrestling. Because there's been a couple of years recently where we could look back and be like, man,
there ain't nothing that happened this year.
If it wasn't for these three or four things, this year would be terrible.
Yeah.
But now, in 2022, we're able to say, oh my gosh, what a year we had.
Yeah, and I think last year was the same way.
For sure.
And I think, you know, part of that is because there's a new player in town with AEW, and WWE has had to, you know,
sure,
do some things that Vince probably did not want to do.
Yep.
And so, you know, I think you're absolutely right. Vince, for every 20 things Vince did bad, he did one or two things really good.
Yep.
And the Cody Seth thing, absolutely. Yep. Stone Cold Kevin Owens, absolutely. This was the first WrestleMania I can think of since 35, maybe, and even then wasn't. It's like, to me, 35 wasn't anything special.
Right.
Like, the card wasn't that special.
Right.
Except for
the triple
Seth Brock
and the triple threat.
Yep. There was nothing else that was like,
Triple H Batista, maybe.
Maybe. And then the match started and was like, dude, this is 45 minutes way too long. We gotta wrap this up.
Oh, Lordy. Yes.
But then, like, but this WrestleMania was like, we got Stone Cold on the card. Mm-hmm. We got Roman Brock, which, yeah, we're not excited for. Then the bell rings, like, oh, it's not that bad. Like, it was fine. Pat McAfee's on the show, which was great.
Cody Rhodes is back.
Logan Paul was there that we were like, man, it's going to be terrible. He's fantastic. Like, he's meant to do this. So, like, I think he did do a lot right this year. But then, man, that SummerSlam on has just been, I feel like every single week is like, you can't miss.
Sure.
Because you don't know who's going to show up. You don't know where they're going to show up. I mean, we didn't even talk about Johnny Gargano as one of the moments of the year. And the way they did it was like off a commercial break, his music just started playing. It was like, who's playing? Oh, Johnny's back. Like, what is happening? So,
exactly.
I think both guys deserve their props. Both guys deserve the criticism. Sure. I think all three bookers that we talk about deserve their props and criticism all the time. So,
right.
it's been a fantastic year. It has been the craziest year in wrestling I can remember for a long time.
I think one thing, you mentioned the AEW being the cause of a lot of these things being good. I also think coming off of a pandemic,
yes,
and everything being shut down, that's why the end of 2021 was so good.
Yeah.
and from July on was so good, and then it propelled us to 2022.
Yeah,
and I think I hate to say this, is so cliche, but people not realizing what they have until it's gone. When wrestling without fans, you know, fans are gone from wrestling, it's wild.
It is.
And then when we have it back, it just elevates everything.
And I mean, specifically with WrestleMania this year, like, yes, we had WrestleMania 37 was technically in front of a live crowd.
Sure.
This was the first, like, we're back.
Yep.
Full arena.
Yep.
Chaos. Like, yep. We're back. And yep. they did not let us down. And we were nervous because, like, the Rumble this year was terrible.
Sure was.
Like, the Rumble, Seth Roman was great until the DQ, and then we're like, what is going on?
And it went downhill from there.
Bobby Brock was like, this is great. And then Roman got involved, like, what is happening? The Rumble was just won by Brock, which was terrible. Ronda won the women's. We're like, man, this is, can we just get something different? Mm-hmm. And so I think we were all like, at the beginning of the year, like, the 2021 was great. 2022 was not off to a great start. And then we just, it was one of these just up and down. You got it. When Vince is in charge, you got to ride the wave, because sure you're going to get great moments, and then you're going to get moments you're like, why am I a wrestling fan right now?
For real. And to your point, we thought Sami Zayn versus Johnny Knoxville was going to be a why am I a wrestling fan at this point? And we leave
it's
that.
Like, now
going,
I want to show everybody this
gosh.
Match. Like, this is why I love wrestling. Let's watch this match together.
Exactly. It's not something you're ashamed to show people.
No.
All right. That's going to do it for WWE. A lot of great stuff. Like we mentioned, looking forward to an incredible 2023. That's also going to do it for episode 100.
Part
in
one.
The books, yeah, part one. So if you haven't already, subscribe to the Body Slam Down at YouTube channel, where you can get the video version of the show. Subscribe wherever you find your podcast, and throw some love to Sportswire Radio. I know they would appreciate it as well. As we wrap season 3 next week, again, to remind you, we're taking a couple of weeks off. We'll be back the first week of January with season 4 brand new content. And we'll get you set for the road to the Royal Rumble and then WrestleMania. PBWF will continue through Christmas. If you are checking out that and keeping up with that, that will continue. We will take the first week of January off for the PBWF. Then we will be back after that. And that'll be month number 6. And that'll be the end of season 1 mm-hmm. of PBWF. We're going to take a couple months off, and we have decided that around WrestleMania time is when season 2 of the PBWF will start. We'll keep you updated on that as we go along. So, anything else to add, man?
No, it's just a fun year in WWE. And, you know, I'm looking forward to talking about AEW as well. It's going to be a fun year as well. So, a lot of fun stuff, man.
It is. A lot of fun stuff. Again, AEW Year End Awards will be on next week's show. Subscribe wherever you find your podcast. Follow us at PBW Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Andy's at Andy_PBWP. I'm at ChrisBelcher24. Thanks for hanging out with us on this edition of the Pipe Bomb Wrestling Podcast. We'll catch you guys down the road.